So I just spent the last few minutes adding some links to the agenda rather than having to paste them in the IRC. just went ahead and posted the wiki link. So if you go to that page, we've got a few items on the agenda for today that I knew of. If anybody has any others, you can speak up as we close in on the last few before we get into reviewing issues. So first I'd like to get an update from Dan on the Maven pushdown. I understand, Dan, that you've reached an important milestone, right?
Yes. All the items have been pushed down out of the Fedora repository top level POM. Except, of course, for the JUnit, which will probably stay up there. And everything that I can think of that can be resolved to central has been resolved to central. Far from over. But at least it's a milestone along the way, I think.
Yeah, I think it's a pretty significant one. So all dependencies are pushed down from the top-level POM, and everything we know of that's in Central we're now pointing to Central.
Right. I wanted to warn everybody about one item. For a long time, we'd been having problems with the validate policy command line operation. That was the one test that wasn't being successful. And so I'd commented that out temporarily but it's working now. To get it to work, I had to get a compatible XML APIs and Xerxes IMPL together, and also to fix the way the command line was being started. You know, in the command line, there's an environment set up that sets what classes are to be used, and there were some fairly old classes, and so I updated that. Right now we're on the latest version of Xerxes. I'm pretty sure that we could probably roll back to 2.6.2, which was the one we were using before. Everything passes its test, though, and it's kind of a group call whether or not you want to go back to try 2.6.2 or stay on the latest version of the Xerxes IMPL.
Yeah, I can't think of any reason we'd want to use the older version. I don't think we had any dependencies on that specific version. I think it just hadn't been updated.
Okay, well, we'll leave it there, I guess, until somebody finds a particular problem. I think everybody knows that there are dependencies that are in the between a lot of the classes. I'm sorry, a lot of the jars that are set up in Maven Central, and so there are some incompatibilities, and in most cases, it looks like the derived POM made a pretty good choice, and everything is working. But there still exists a possibility of something that's not currently covered by a test that may require us to continue to resolve some dependencies or make some choices. An example of that is one of the ones that Chris had found with the Stacks library.
So we're kind of defaulting to pull in the transitive dependencies rather than declaring them on our own. But if we run into issues with version mismatches, the process is to basically have that as an exclude. So the transitive, the resolving of the transitive dependency doesn't happen for that, for our direct dependency, and then we can specify a specific version, right?
That's correct. The things that aren't in Maven Central have now been all moved over to org.fedora repo. And will still need to be loaded into people's local Maven repositories. At some point, one of the tasks will be to move it into our Maven repository, I guess, so everybody can share it, rather than having to do that in their own local Maven repository.
What's the current thinking on when that's going to happen?
Well, actually, I'm kind of wondering too if this is an appropriate time to do that, because it seems like we've got that list identified now, so maybe we could just go ahead and do it. Is there anything, Dan, you know of that would that should be done before that?
No, I just wanted to talk in the meeting here and have our collective eyeballs on the code base to make a call when that's ready to do.
Yep.
But I think we are in a position to do that. Now, that doesn't mean any of our build products. I'm just talking about the things that are in are loaded by the script.
Yeah.
It might be a good idea to leave the script there for people who want to run locally. Is there any feeling about that?
Well, I mean, I guess I was thinking part of that process would be deleting those libs anyway.
Yeah.
from Subversion. I mean, because then we'd get the benefit of having shorter checkout times too, you know.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. That as soon as we switch over to hosting our own Maven artifacts, that we would drop them from lib.
Okay.
Yeah. Was there, Dan, was there some uncertainty on whether that would work correct? I mean, I guess I'm thinking is, you know, once we make that jump, we're pretty much bought into it. And that's just the way we need to operate. But there's some uncertainty on whether that will work correctly? Like,
No, not at all. I think that it's a pretty low risk thing for us to go ahead and push them into our repository, and go ahead and give it a try, make certain everything is okay before we remove the stuff. And I've left all the crumb trails in. Thanks, Andrew, for all the wonderful crumb trails. All the crumb trails in so that, you know, we can give it a week or so and kind of incrementally update the POM as people have experience running.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it makes sense to leave it in for the time being and then, you know, shortly get rid of it. Because, I mean, as soon as we feel it stops serving a purpose. So you're saying, why don't we keep those in for like a week and make sure everything's settled down?
Yeah, and the same thing with the script and the stuff in the lib. We'll go ahead and move the stuff over into our Maven repository and give it a few builds and a few tests, and then I can go ahead, or anybody can go ahead and drop the lib and the scripts when they're ready.
Yeah. Should certainly make sure the round trip well, we get it working on our local systems, and we also get it working on the test box correctly. And I think once we've verified that, we're in pretty good shape.
I'm just very careful about all the derived dependencies and also starting to scope some of the dependencies, because there are a few places where there are some unresolved issues to take care of. One of the ones I wanted to mention, it was, well, first off, I talked to Andrew and Chris yesterday. I've started adding some new items to the Anti-Maven 2 page. I'm wondering how we want to also put things in front of people for discussion on the mailing list. An example is that we've got things in there like the install properties, that server source resource property install properties, that is putting things like the JDBC connectors into the WAR file based on the choices that are made during the installation. So this is actually causing a duplication of some of the JDBC connectors in the WAR file because they're being added in real time. So there's some of these things to clean up before I think we are going to be able to operate completely off of the Maven repository.
So that's one issue, that's one of the questions, and you said you identified that on the wiki page?
Yes.
I'm not sure I understood exactly what the issue is, but I mean, I can restate what I do understand is that when we build up the WAR file, we're putting the chosen JDBC driver into the WAR file at install time. And somehow that's causing a duplication of a WAR file, of a JDBC driver.
Yeah.
So it's causing like a couple JDBC drivers to put into the WAR,
Well, it certainly is putting the selected JDBC driver into the WAR file. I haven't tested at this point how many other ones it is putting into the WAR file, but simply stated, the POM has listed as a dependency each of the JDBC drivers that we generally support. So that means that the WAR file is being built with those JDBC drivers down in the web INF live subdirectory.
I see. Because we're using the Maven process of building the WAR file, that's like the default behavior.
That's correct.
Okay.
And then the installer is doing it again for the selected JDBC driver.
Right. Well, it's interesting that kind of relates to something I'd like to talk about after this section too, which is how we're going to do the WAR file, build up the WAR file. But it sounds like we've got implications here too. So, I know in some cases we can't download the JDBC driver either. We have to have somebody throw that into their class path somehow, like in the case of Oracle and possibly MS SQL. It doesn't seem like a big deal to make the WAR file a little bigger by default if it simplifies the whole round trip process of putting it together. One way to deal with it might be just to say, well, just accept the fact that we've got the JDBC drivers built in that we test with for those different databases, as long as they're open source. And then people don't have to do anything special in those cases when they're installing Fedora.
In that case, then the installer wouldn't do the additional step of throwing in the one selected.
Yeah. So if it wasn't a pre-included one. That one probably deserves some more extensive discussion and, you know, thinking about the big picture of what we're trying to accomplish with the WAR, putting the WAR file together. Anybody else have thoughts on that one for now, or shall we carry that one on the mailing list?
Yeah, I think so.
That makes sense. Okay. So there were a couple other questions you identified, Dan, on that page, right?
Right. I would suggest that we consider splitting the client into four modules or four projects. That would be the swing client, the creating the Fedora client jar, the messaging client, and I added the Flex client. There was some discussion this week about where people want to get the Flex client's sources. So the reason for this is that these are really separate projects or separate modules. And the current build right now has got some of their dependencies intertwined. How we want to break that out, I think, is worthy of a discussion, or if we want to break it out.
Yeah. So I'm seeing that's on the Antimaven page. That's issue number 13.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're suggesting, why don't we split it out? Maybe. So we have the swing client, the old swing client, which presumably will go away at some point soon. Fedora client jar. So that's just the small set of classes that is like a Java client, basically. The messaging client, which seems to make sense to me. And the Flex client, or web admin, as we're calling it.
Okay.
So it seems like pretty logical breakdown to me. Is there actually any breakdown right now in there? I mean, I know the Flex client is kind of included separately, but
The Flex client is separate, but the other three are all being built by the one client project. And then also assembled partially in the Fedora home assembly, which is located over, I believe, in the server area. And so these are just some little cleanups to be able to split these guys out. So, for example, in order to get some of the dependency sets in the assemblies to properly trigger, we have to put the dependencies into the client project, even though they're only a messaging client dependency or only a swing client dependency. And so when we do kill off the swing client, it would be kind of nice to have the the dependencies all separately noted.
Agreed. So that extraction has to happen anyway. So, I mean, without looking again at the code, this seems like a pretty logical breakdown to me. I don't know. Anybody else have input on that one? Well, seems like another one that could be maybe included in a query to the list, but if we don't get discussion on it, I mean, this is something that you've thought about, Dan. Seems like probably a logical thing to go ahead and do. I kind of wonder with this kind of move, especially if it's going to be, you know, a week or two long process, that maybe doing a branch for this kind of shifting around might make sense. Unless it can be committed in a fairly atomic way. But I assume, you know, part of that process is going to be making sure the tests are still working properly, and maybe some strange states in the process.
Sounds good. Can I go ahead and move on then?
Yeah.
The next one they added was, probably folks know that I like using Eclipse. Eclipse doesn't understand hierarchical projects. The local services project, isn't doing a whole lot other than identifying its submodules as FOP, Image, Manip, and Saxon. Each of those produce their own WAR files, and they stand alone. It will make adding in additional services a little bit easier if those are moved to the top to their own projects. Mm-hmm. So, and you kind of see a theme here is that make a project for each kind of artifact that you're building. So if you're building a WAR file, that'd be a project. If you're building a jar file, that'd be a project.
So the difference you're proposing here, Dan, is that they be elevated out of the whatever the local services project?
That's correct. And local services would potentially disappear as a project. It doesn't have to. You can still reference other modules and other projects. I would probably drop local services and just elevate FOP, Image, Manip, and Saxon to be top level projects.
And the rationale is around the IDE?
It helps the IDE. It is not essential. Because what the IDE does, if you give it the correct choice, is it will go ahead and just make top level views of those projects. So I get in the IDE in Saxon and Image Manip and FOP appear to me as if they are top level projects. But it would make things just a little bit simpler if top level projects are pretty much the artifact that they're going to build. If you're going to build a WAR, that's going to be a project. If you're going to build a jar, that's going to be a project.
So I certainly like that idea, Dan. But I do also kind of like the idea of grouping together these local services under just a directory that allows us to indicate how they're all related. So I'm wondering if it would just be reasonable to just remove the projectness of local services. So remove the .class path, the .project. But leave the POM around just to be able to call the underlying services.
Yeah, that wouldn't. I don't think that would be any problem at all.
And likewise, it seemed like maybe backing up to the client discussion. I guess what came to mind for me was that structurally, in fleshing that out, that there would maybe be a client equivalent to local services, and then there'd be these locals, the Swing client, the Fedora client, messaging client, and so forth underneath that sort of top level project of client
or client.
Yeah, right. I don't think there'd be any problem doing that either. I can go ahead and try the experiment and see how it looks like on a branch before we commit to one way or the other. If so, that's okay.
So yeah, Bill, what were you describing? Were you describing the alternative to pulling them all up as top level?
Right. I was just saying, essentially leave them where they are. Just instead of the local services directory being an Eclipse project, just have it be a directory that happens to contain other Eclipse projects.
Oh, I see.
So you wouldn't actually pull in local services as something you see inside your IDE. It's just a grouping mechanism that you'd step down into and pull the underlying projects in.
So
makes it cleaner at the top level.
In Subversion, basically, you'd still have a client directory. But within it, you would have the specific projects, each with their own POM.
Yeah, right. And you'd likely have a POM just like in the client directory and a POM in the local services directory, but all that POM is going to do is just call down into the underlying services. And that's certainly up for debate. I mean, you could just call directly in from the top level POM into each of the services.
In terms of just doing a command line Maven build, you're saying, Bill?
Right. Yeah. So the top level, the POM at the trunk level, could call in directly or could indicate the projects directly. When you're doing in order to do a full build,
mm-hmm.
or we could have this intermediary.
Yeah. I feel like the convention is to have the intermediary, where the POM file under, say, clients or local services, the POM file itself, it has the packaging element defined as POM, as opposed to mm-hmm. packaging being defined as jar or war. And then it lists out the modules. But, yeah, I guess it could happen either way.
Well, I don't think we need to make any decision right now. It's just something to play with on the client stuff. Breaking the client down actually helps our clarity. This other business with local services doesn't need to be dealt with right now. I just wanted to put it out there as an item for discussion.
So I noticed also our artifact IDs, or excuse me, our group IDs for everything, Dan, you mentioned we're now consistently using org.fedora-repo, and that's for the libraries.
Right.
But then for stuff that we build, it's still sitting in org.duraspace. So that's one thing that still needs to be done. It can be done at any point, but... it could probably be grouped with the actual repackaging too. I mean, it's not, one is not necessarily dependent on the other, but you you kind of expect the group ID to be the package name anyway. So it seems they probably make sense to do at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I haven't stepped that far yet to make any of those changes for the things that we create. So that's where I've left off. Are you ready to start moving on those?
I don't know what order makes most sense. I mean, I think we're ready to take several of these steps. I just wouldn't want one to get in the way of the other necessarily. So,
well, if I would suggest, why don't we do the library and the central in our Maven repository first?
Okay.
And that leaves all of the build artifacts local. Make certain everything's working there, and then think about moving on to the build artifacts.
Makes sense to me. Okay. And Daniel, I guess you'll follow up with a list to the Antimaven, or follow up with a message to the Antimaven group on those questions. Just
yep.
For people to kick into.
Glad cool. to. Glad to.
All right. Thanks. And thanks a lot for all your digging on this. It's really nice. We're getting there, definitely. Actually, it'll be really nice when our checkout size reduces.
Okay. There was one other item that I'd like to have the collective wisdom on is server source main resources properties lib.properties. I think that was tied only to the Ant build and maybe a candidate for removal.
Okay, resources properties.
I think that's right.
Yeah, that's my impression too.
Okay, well, I'll go ahead and try to remove it and see if it affects the build.
Cool. All right. Thanks, Dan.
Okay.
So next topic, I'll just introduce this. Eddie and I we've been kind of working over the past few weeks talking about how we're going to go about this OSGI move, and have actually Eddie's been doing some experiments, and one of the experiments is the move to basically make Fedora an OSGI bundle, and that's running locally for him now. So we had this discussion yesterday about how that's, it seems probably pretty reasonable for that kind of build to be happening alongside Fedora as we move forward. So the way he's got it set up now is, you know, he kind of had to put together his own WAR file, run the installer, and then treat that as a dependency for building up the OSGI bundle. And it struck both of us that actually if Fedora had the WAR target that was self-contained, sort of a self-contained WAR, then it could be, you know, not requiring that manual step in the process. So let's see. Eddie, I just pointed to this issue this morning because I remembered that we had actually had this discussion before and had logged basically where we were at with it, which was, I think we were all pretty much on the same page as far as getting the moving Fedora's build so that what we're building is actually a WAR file that people can drop in, and then having a more interactive configuration experience. So, or a,
meaning that a once, yeah. So you drop the war in, then all the installer type configuration happens through a web UI.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was kind of the goal. I mean, I think we've had for a while, and it turns out it would help the OSGI work if our if it could depend directly on that war artifact instead of having to run the installer. And I mean, in general, it's going to help anybody who wants to embed a Fedora down the road. So we just got to talking a bit about that and thought we'd bring it up on the call today. I wanted to sort of put out the question to the group about whether we're there yet, whether we can actually start on that and potentially throw this item that's FC Repo 504 into the Fedora 3.3 bucket. I mean, obviously, I don't think we're going to like solve all the world's configuration problems, but if we, you know, got it down to a point where it basically worked and gave people a little bit better experience than they have today for configuration, we'd be, in a way, kind of killing two birds with one stone. So
it seems like this is potentially a fairly large undertaking. So it seems like it wouldn't be reasonable to put it into 3.3, the 3.3 bucket, unless there's someone signed on to do it.
Yeah. Unless somebody's willing to jump in on it. I agree. I mean, I've got several things myself that I need to wrap up for 3.3. I guess it seems... I mean, we know in general what we want, and we've talked about a few ways of accomplishing it. So I think if we can find a lead on this, there's still probably time to do it. It's just a matter of finding somebody. So I guess the thing that may make this a little tough is the Authen plugin stuff, and I think it may have a dependency on the integration of Fezzle as well, but I'm not positive on that. Eddie, do you
well? As it currently stands, you know, it's this thing of, I mean, it actually kind of fits in with how the installer right now, right, it doesn't just deploy the WAR and Fedora Home, but it's also, you know, the local services web apps. And so, at least originally with Fezzle and the current installer, I had imagined that we'd just drop, right now we've got another WAR for Fezzle to support the auth n stuff, right? Auth z. Auth n. It is auth n. Okay. Anyway, so you know that's something that we need to sort out. I mean, if we're going to try to just have a single war installer, basically. I'm not sure what the right tack is to take there. I mean, I don't think that changes the fact that we still want to have a deployable Fedora war out of, you know, but I don't know if someone knows of anything off the top of their heads as far as a clever way to have, you know, deal with other wars from a single war. I think just saying that out loud sounds extremely hacky if there is a way to do it.
I saw something that I didn't get a chance to follow up on, but that the newer versions of of Tomcat were actually able to deploy ear files that did not contain anything for a J2EE container.
Yeah, so we could potentially have a couple of wars in a year.
Yeah.
Well, that would be interesting.
Yeah. So is that, I wonder if that is possible in Jetty these days too, or?
I don't know. I just wanted to throw it out there because I was going to follow up and double check it. I'd run into a couple of references on it.
Yeah.
Obviously JBoss can do it without any trouble.
Right. Right. So that, yeah, that, I mean, that may be a road we go down to handle that. It, you know, we just should be mindful of whether deploying, you know, requiring an, something that can accept ears might reduce the number of app servers we can deploy into. Then again, it may be, you know, that if you want to deploy into a non-ear container, there's just, you know, you can do it. There's just a more difficult way of doing it.
Right. I mean, if we're down to the fact that, I mean, what we provide as a binary download is a zip that has a bunch of wars, I mean, that you then deploy, maybe that's not bad. We still then have, yeah, I mean, then there's, I mean, there's configuration stuff that has to be done, at least for the Fezzle war, and I hadn't thought about that as a problem because I was still thinking of it in terms of something that the installer, the current installer could do, but then
Well, it sounds like the, it, I mean, ordering wise, it probably makes sense to consider this a, or could consider the Fezzle stuff a dependency, right? Of this, I mean, we don't want to be making non-Fezzle assumptions here, right? So when that,
yeah, I mean, I think it's, you know, if I had actually forgotten about this Jira issue, so, but I mean, it, if we are all, you know, as a group, sold on the idea of having the Fedora, you know, the single Fedora war. I mean, I would just have to go back and think about how we can make Fezzle work with that.
Yeah.
I don't think that's,
yeah,
you know,
I mean, personally,
that's not an intractable goal. So.
Yeah. I don't see any problem with having two different wars. Because, I mean, it's come up before that people wanted to not have Fedora do any of the, you know, auth and authity because they're doing it at a level above, in which case you just wouldn't deploy the Fezzle war. I mean, I think it's a really reasonable separation of concerns.
Right, and then there's, like, the further down the road picture, too, where the Fezzle work would be, I mean, they would be OSGI bundles as well, right? So it's really this, I mean, it's this intermediary place, and so I think it's, yeah, I mean, I think at this point it's okay to think of it as being separate wars, and, you know, at least for some interim period, we'll have to sort it out.
Yeah, so I guess a person, you know, the install experience could be basically you drop in Fedora, the Fedora war, do the setup and drop in the Fezzle war and to
if
add that
it.
Extra layer of security. Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And that's all pretty hand wavy, but you know, that's how we hope it would work.
Yeah, it is hand wavy because there's other configuration stuff that eventually would happen in the Fedora war, depending on whether or not you're using the Fezzle off the stuff. But
so I mean the general principle we've, I mean, we kind of, I think we kind of came to in this earlier discussion about the war was that in general, we would try to keep configuration out of the war. I mean, as much as possible, because that inhibits our ability to put something fixed together as the distributed artifact. Eddie, you mentioned, you know, that it may be necessary to think about Vezel integration a little bit differently as well. I mean, it, you know, it could turn out that this desire to get the war out slightly changes maybe how Vezel configuration actually is pulled in. But it probably makes sense to think of this, these, you know, consider these concerns together and see how they affect each other.
Yeah, I'd say important to consider them together, but I think it's okay to, you know, basically force Fezzle, the Fezzle's hand in how it's going to integrate. I mean, so I think, you know, if we can just sort of put our foot down and say, but, you know, but we're doing this with Fedora, and so as opposed to, well, we'll do it with Fedora if we can figure out how to get Fezzle to, you know, work. I mean, I feel like, you know, Fedora setting the direction will, you know, then that should be what naturally forces us to figure out how to deal with integrating Fezzle appropriately. And I think, you know, the other thing, as far as can we get this scoped into 3.3, I mean, when Chris and I were talking about this yesterday, it was sort of, you know, we don't have to, you know, get it to be the end all and be all in this first cut. I mean, I think if we can sort of pare down what we're actually targeting. So, like, for instance, I mean, we make as many simplifying assumptions as we can. And I mean, like, I think the suggestion of, I guess this is following sort of the DSpace precedent of just setting a location like / Fedora as sort of the default place for, you know, what is currently Fedora home. That sounds pretty good. Doing things like dropping SSL on the assumption that that's going to be handled by, you know, say Apache or something else that I guess we can deliberate on later. But I mean, certainly that seems, those sound like easy candidates for sort of simplifying the goal. And then configuration-wise, I don't know, I mean, what if any thought people have given to this, but, you know, again, like, we don't have to have, you know, a web-based configuration tool that's, you know, super glorious. I mean, our installer is currently pretty limited in terms of what it, you know, gives an end user, and then if you want to do, you know, other customization, you're forced to, you know, modify a CFG and other things by hand anyway. So I think the sort of web-based configuration can be equally simple on a first cut.
Yeah. I mean, at the sort of the base level would be like a giant form, right, that you just step through as if it's like, you know, it's basically the webized version of the installer script. It's got little boxes to type your responses into. I mean,
right,
it'd be that simple.
Right, because I mean, we've talked about like how it'd be great for the new admin client to have, you know, a full on sort of configuration editor anyway, sort of independent of this discussion of having just a single deployable Fedora war. But I mean, you know, I can see just having, I mean, if it belongs to Fedora admin, you know, a pane where, yeah, basically you have just some hopefully dead simple form to do that configuration. So I mean, you know, I'm hoping then, yeah, that we have a pretty tightly scoped target for what would be our first cut at this.
Yeah.
Any volunteers?
Well, let's see. Who's not here?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm kind of wondering if we throw something in there kind of as a placeholder for now, Just to note that a simplified picture could be helpful for the OSGI stuff. I mean, ultimately, I guess, you know, after we go through the whole OSGI exercise, it may turn out that we borrow some of the facilities of the OSGI container to help with this stuff anyway, right? So it may not make sense to try to do the whole thing in the really fancy way ourselves yet anyway. I mean, what's the basic requirement for the basically treating Fedora as a bundle to just kind of keep that work going, Eddie? I mean, to have a war that can be deployed.
Yeah, basically it's more that can we remove the installer, right? That's really sort of the holdup in being able to.
We do have.
Well, it is and it isn't. I mean, I could work in the OSGI configuration into the installer and so on, but sounds messy because, for instance, right now, I'm having problems dealing with the SSL support, for instance. But in the end, it just seemed like the sort of the right thing anyway for our POM to have a war artifact. So,
yeah.
I mean, because. At least how I was imagining it, I mean, even as we go through bundleizing all the various Fedora modules, I mean, you're still going to want to have, in the end, be able to produce a WAR file.
Right.
So it's just, I keep kind of coming back to the fact that, well, yeah, I mean, I'm going to want, I mean, so, I mean, that is sort of the stuff that I had just kind of strapped into the, at least my local copy of the Fedora build, but
yeah. Well, perhaps it would make sense to, I mean, like you were saying, I think it's something that we want to do is just to create the war. And sort of what we're getting hung up on, it sounds like, is what do we do with all the stuff that the installer is doing? I mean, I'm just wondering if the installer could be broken out into just a separate project that, you know, assumes access to the, you know, to the war. And then, you know, just it's bundled into a jar that, you know, can run through the various configuration stuff essentially as it is now.
Yeah, I was going to suggest that too along the way. The server gets refactored, that seemed to be one of the things that could be pulled out as a project.
Well, not necessarily be the end goal there, but maybe just be a stepping stone along the way.
So, but you, I mean, you're saying, are we proposing separating out the installer as being more expedient than just getting a readily deployable WAR file?
I'm saying that if you had a WAR file and you wanted to deploy it as a WAR file, then you could go that direction. But on the other hand, we could also provide the installer as a separate facility.
Right.
So if you already had the WAR file build, then why would you need the installer? Or
well, just to sort of do the setup of putting your you know, the various Fedora home files in the right places and doing
and the configuration.
Yeah, configuration of SCSG, you know, as far as we go with that. Yeah, and security configuration.
So seems to me like
installing the WAR into the Tomcat.
Yeah. I mean, Okay, well, so even there, we're still talking about having some kind of, I think I hear in there, we're still talking about still having some form of a readily deployable war, and it's just that the installer can then do some additional, the sort of a refactored version of our current installer could then, you know, take care of the additional configuration. But so if I'm hearing that right, then there's still a step of making the war readily deployable. And I mean, like, you know, that obviously has other advantages for us too. I mean, like, just the ability of, I mean, having the sort of default state of the war be something that's readily deployable. And I think one of the key sort of dependencies there is figuring out how to deal with Fedora Home. But if we have that, then you also have the great sort of facility of, you know, running everything through in your IDE, right? I mean, I know people have gone through various hoops and hurdles to get Fedora in such a way that you can debug it and run it through within Eclipse. But I mean, if you've actually got it in a readily deployable state, then it makes that stuff a lot easier for everyone. And that itself, I think, has a lot of advantages for all the developers. So I guess, I mean, you know, if people are sort of agreed on the goal of having some simple state of readily deployable Fedora war, and then a lot of things can sort of fall out from there pretty quickly. Like, okay, so how do we deal with Fedora Home? And it sounds like the, you know, main suggestion there is to do the convention over configuration. You know, just have like Flash Fedora or whatever, and then, you know, the war itself can be responsible for deploying basically the content of Fedora Home to that pre-configured location if it's not there already, and then the other thing is just determining what do we think are sort of the sort of standard simplified configuration that should be the default for the Fedora war. And I guess there, I just propose a simple, if whatever the simpler choice is in all cases, that's the one we stick to.
Well,
so like, yeah.
If, I mean, so we've got that like config Z or config Q now. We've had this kind of approach. I mean, on one side of making something that's, you know, workable for like basic tests of Fedora, but then as soon as somebody wants to do something kind of cool, like use the resource index, they are back into configuration land. So another approach is to have a default config that's like basically, you know, got most things you would want to select anyway already selected. Just, you know, don't make any promises about it being particularly fast or.
Right. So that's like a recommended configuration sort of, as opposed to just sort of the simplest possible, right?
Yeah.
But so that's where we get into things like, well, I mean, wouldn't we normally recommend that people have SSL enabled? And would we recommend that? I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I guess I'm trying to think about how like the Atlassian products do it. And I mean, I think and a lot of products when you first install them are open to your local host until you log in until you actually log into some administration screen and then lock it down a little further.
Right.
I don't know. I mean,
well, okay. So even if for this issue, we say that the end result ought to be a readily deployable war that has closer to, say, a recommended sort of configuration. Before we get there, we still have to solve the problem of just getting it to be ready to deployable, right? And so, I mean, I would imagine, like, as part of getting there, you probably would start out with, you know, everything, say, turned off that you can have turned off just to make, you know, just to get to the point of making sure. First problem just being, like, getting SCFG set up correctly and Fedora Home deployed correctly. And then, I mean, once you get there, then it's sort of we're at the point where we can say, okay, and so what are the other modules, say, that we want enabled or configured? What do we want as far as, resource index messaging and blah, 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 settings and so forth. But, how to run all the demo objects and the, dependencies they have on the local services and how we're going to deal with that. But, I mean, nevertheless, like, before we ever get there, I think we still want to just have that sort of easiest possible or simplest as possible configuration of the war.
Yeah.
So if we get there, then we can have the rest of the discussion about what are the other particulars, right?
Yeah. It just strikes me, going back to what Bill said, that doing this is a fairly sizable effort. Unless we really cut it off and say, you know, we're going to produce a war that works just for the purpose of testing for, you know, maybe it's got the JDBC driver already included for Derby. And it's, you know, maybe something where it includes the Fedora Home content as resources and unpacks it. Like, I could see a simple step being taken toward that. But what I'm concerned about is trying to completely replace the current process for installing Fedora in the 2 or 3 month time frame. If we want to get Fedora 3.3 out by the end of the year, then I could see stepping up and having this as a target or something that we could build as an alternative to help in these integration kind of cases, but not necessarily a replacement, because then you start to step into several harder problems.
Well, the problem is also, as far as timing goes, sounds like we're probably going to want to wait at least until Fezzle is integrated completely, and we're probably going to want to wait until, you know, a lot of refactoring with regard to, you know, Maven is complete before really really jumping in on this one. And if that's a month or so out before those things are done, then, you know, just how much time is left available to actually work through all these issues before, you know, the next release. It might be more reasonable to try to just do pull off a few pieces that, you know, that might start heading in this direction. For instance, separating out, you know, the SSL stuff as a separate concern, and just try to nibble at the issue a bit, and then, you know, for this release, and then try to do the full scope of the effort in the next.
Yeah. So let's why don't we wrap this up for now and move on. But how do we capture this? Should we create? I mean, I could see just creating another issue maybe that's scoped for 3.3. So we've sort of got it on the radar. But whose goal is maybe the simple step of having a way for developers to put together a WAR file as an alternative, like a deployable, maybe simple deployable WAR file option for Fedora that's not necessarily targeted at the big or the more complex use cases. Or do we just keep in this issue and
Um, I'm not sure. I mean, so I can see as a sort of the so the so for the middle ground, you know, then I could do something like tweak the so what would need to be done. So enough like tweaking of the sort of defaults that we have in like FCFG and WebXML so that it's in a so that it would conform to whatever like the simplest case deployable war is. And then, you know, and if that's sort of the sort of state of those files in the repo, in SVN, then the installer is just accordingly tweaked so that, you know, it knows that that's the base state, right? And then depending on the options you choose as part of the installation process, it will still function basically as it is from an end user perspective. So it's just some tweaking of stuff under the hood. And then this new war target can just sort of use what's sort of readily there. And depending on, you know, and then that doesn't get in sort of the critical path of 3.3. And then that target and the work towards that target and whatever, what's the issue number on this 5.504 can sort of continue to progress. This would just be sort of an interim step. And so like whatever happens as far as figuring out how to deploy Fedora Home from a war, that can still sort of happen alongside. And again, that still doesn't end up getting in the way of anything going on with Fedora 3.3. You know, that may end up having to be like another target or whatever. But again, it just doesn't get in the way of sort of mainline development.
Just
so maybe those could be separate sub-issues. I don't know.
One reminder is Maven between the profiles and the assemblies can have multiple. You can have assemblies and WAR files that are optimized for debugging development as opposed to a simple deployable or a more complicated deployable. To do all the things that you can do without the decisions made by the installer.
So, tempted to create another issue scoped for 3.3 for now. I mean, we can refine it as we go on, but I do want to have something on the 3.3 radar in case we're able to do this or get someone interested in helping out with it. That's just not quite as big an effort as replacing the existing installer. Because I think if we take that off, then whatever gets done by 3.3 gets done. And, you know, it's mostly a help in getting us there, but not the end goal. So, but it seems like that we have agreement that the idea is there's an option for an out-of-box deployable war, and that's like the minimum capability we want, right? So, this is like, what's that issue number for the big one?
504.
FC Repo 504 Lite. And I'm just going to write a couple of these notes into that description real quick. But we wanted to define a recommended configuration for it and use that as the default. And it could end up being a different build target than our existing one. Not perfect, but at least that way we have it captured. And we can refine it as we continue. All right. Let's see. So next item, I do want to wrap up again by 12:30 if we can. So we may get to the issues at the end. We may not. But head back to the agenda here. Okay, so just a note that Ben's contribution to do this is FC Repo 453, which was the ability to upload content using the file URI, is now merged thanks to Kai. And Asger had submitted his contribution on FC Repo 533, and that was given as a patch. I basically applied it and threw it into a branch. So this, in a nutshell, is adding a couple convenience methods inside the Fedora code to get at content model information. This could be valuable in simplifying some of the, or basically abstracting out some of the code for getting that information. If, as a later step down the road, we choose to have content model information be inferred by some sort of type or inheritance relationship, if we go down that road. But this doesn't imply that we will. But without that capability of doing inheritance, this is still valuable. So it's basically recognizing that this is an understood relationship by the Fedora server. So having a convenience method to access it rather than treating it as an arbitrary relationship is still a good thing. So Asger submitted that. I created a review for it in our Crucible, and it's linked from that wiki page. So I'm certainly going to be taking a look at this, and I'll be kind of sponsoring this contribution. So if we do get comments coming in, I would encourage you guys, if you've got some time, to take a quick look and offer your comments in the review. And then I'll be making those mods in order to get it the rest of the way through. So we got a little while longer. I just sped through those. So we can take a look at a few of the issues now. So going off that issue link, the last one listed there is a bug reported by Ben Osteen, FC Repo 523. And Ben is saying post to this portion of the REST API is counterintuitive, is the title here. What he's basically saying is that it's strange that the response isn't available, the new location of that thing isn't available in the response. So if you're following REST guidelines, the client should be able to, upon posting, determine where that thing actually went without having to have special knowledge of the API. So
Ben mentioned this one to me too when I saw him in Manchester a few weeks ago, and I think this is something we should put into our accept queue.
Seems pretty reasonable.
So is it just that there's no entity on the 201 response? Is that all we're...
Yeah, that at the very least we ought to be setting that header. I mean, you could argue more about like the actual endpoints themselves, and you know, should the posted endpoint actually be the gettable and blah blah blah. But I think for the time being, like just setting the header is satisfactory.
So it says the response should be 201 created and contain an entity which describes the status of the request and refers to the new resource and a location header. So what is the entity is distinct from the location header then? The entity is the entity body?
Yeah, entity body. I mean, in my dealings, usually the entity body has been location. In a 201.
Yeah. Okay, so for people who are looking for it in the body, they can find it there. But if we do a location header, then that's another standard place that it goes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I'm going to open this, but I'm going to change the priority because I don't think it's really... It might be a big annoyance, but unless other people kick in, I wouldn't really consider this that big of a deal. So bring that down to minor. Seems like a fairly simple thing to do, so I'm tempted to just go and select 3.3 for this. Makes sense. If we don't get to it, we don't get to it, but just so it stays on the current radar. So return to search. Okay, so these next few are things that I've submitted. FC repo 525 is a new feature, and which is the ability to have some kind of form-based utility that creates the special three Fedora objects. So the content model, service definition, service deployment. So, I mean, I think we'd go a long ways by having some simple little form or something that helped people create these special objects. I'm obviously tempted to click open on this because I submitted it, but does it seem like the web admin is the right place to have this? I mean, Bill? Do you still have Bill?
Are you on mute, Bill?
Yeah, I was on mute. Oh, okay. I was also still thinking about the last issue.
This is the ability to, you know, have some kind of simple utility for creating these objects. So I did that whole the style sheets last month to help people create the service definition and deployment objects. And I mean, this is basically like if we had some simple form-based thing in the web admin when you went to create a new object. I mean, kind of analogous to what we had in the old admin client.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe not just templates, but even having like a form. It seems like the person answered a few simple questions, they could be on their way to a valid service definition and or deployment object pretty quickly.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's something that has kind of been on the list for the new web admin anyway, so yeah, I don't see any problems there.
So I forgot, in the web admin, the new web admin, do we support, is there any notion of differences in user roles for people who...
No.
So there isn't. But I mean, so you already know where it's leading. Yeah. Like,
if you can log in, basically you can do everything.
Okay.
I mean, unless it's all through the REST API, right? So if that user isn't capable of doing something based on, you know, the Aussie in Fedora, then, you know, it's gonna tell you you're not allowed to do it. Just because when you try to make the request, then it's gonna come back with an error.
Right, but right.
The web admin itself doesn't know anything about distinctions in user groups.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I opened that one. Getting back to the search. Okay, so this one could spur off a large discussion, but it's FC Repo 527. And what it is when I was, actually, I think when I was doing the easy service stuff, it occurred to me once again that the relationship between the content model and service definition object isn't actually necessary for Fedora to do its job functionally. It's really that particular relationship is really a sort of a contract or a registration of intent that when an object subscribes to a given content model, that it's also subscribing to whatever services that content model says that it needs to be implemented in order for the object to be considered that kind of object. but I don't know. I put this out there mostly just to generate some discussion. I'm, in my mind, kind of going back and forth on this. I mean, I recognize it's useful to register the intent in a way, but it just seems like we should be really clear on whether a content model is only implying the structural formation of objects, or whether it's also intended to imply the behavioral capabilities of a set of objects too. I mean, when I describe content modeling in Fedora, I think the natural inclination when people hear that term is, you know, you're thinking about content and you're thinking about the structure of actual content. And I think a lot of people get a lot of mileage out of just thinking of things that way. It turns out, because the content model acts as a sort of set, that it's a set of like structured things, that it's a convenient place to also add behavioral stuff. But in fact, at runtime, the thing that's important is the bridging of a service definition with a content model, and that role is actually fulfilled by the service deployment object. So I remember an earlier discussion about this when we were first talking about an early version of the CMDA, and I think Eddie and I both brought this up, the same kind of thing up, was that relationship really isn't absolutely necessary. That if you want special behaviors on your objects, that could be actually thought of as a completely separate concern from content modeling. So with 2 minutes remaining, I'm sure that'll be a great discussion. I want to see if anybody has any thoughts yet on that, but I'm sort of tempted to keep this one out there as a potential topic for a more extensive discussion.
So looking at it from the other side, what do we get by having the provide service relationship in there. I mean, besides just being able to sort of see in the content model, you know, what services it's expecting. Because we could, like you say here, we could certainly discover that information by looking at the relationships from the SDEP.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think all that it buys us is a registration of intent. That if you're moving objects from repository to repository, and you don't happen to have an appropriate service deployment, you'll know that. Like, I don't know, it gives you a coupling which may be valuable in some senses. I mean,
the service deployment has got localization information in it. So it can't be copied to another repository without redoing the localization. Whereas the service definition is a model that can be freely relocated. And it potentially has a definition of some semantics that allow you to encapsulate the structural information that's inside of the C model. It's the mechanism of encapsulation. So the information in the service definition could be moved inside the model that's inside the C model. Moving it outside just allowed it to be shared and mixed in independently. But just looking and obtaining that information from the service deployment locks you to that localized information.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it's certainly the service definition is the abstract representation of some set of behaviors, and is the thing that's portable across repository. It's a definition of some sort of intent of a set of behaviors or operations. But I don't know. It seems like we need to get our story straight on this, on why having the service definition is really fundamental to the C model.
Well, let me pose the question. Why don't, at the same time, look at making a looser coupling of the service deployment? That is the place where things are not as flexible as they really should be right now.
I agree. In fact, I don't know that we have that specific aspect documented anywhere, but in particular, I mean, we've talked about you could actually share service deployments among repositories as long as you had different instances of services running around, you know. I mean, and you could presumably, you know, everybody could use the same service, but the same instance of the same service. But if these things are different instances, I think that's kind of the general case.
You should also do the binding to the individual data streams and any other user parameters that are coming in at the last instance, so you don't have to mention them or know their name specifically.
Mm.
So there should be a degree of abstraction in there.
Yeah. So you're just pointing out that this reminds you of that fact. So I'm just writing a note here we need to make sure that's in there somewhere, that we're tracking that too. But regardless of the SDEF and SDEP, the service deployment coupling it within itself, do we even have a short answer to what value the relationship between the content model and the service definition buys us?
Yeah, and I think it may, without considering the deployment at the SDEP at the same time, that we had to make some simplifying assumptions to get 3.0 out the door. And it may be the SDEP that needs to be reworked. That's causing this, these thoughts about the coupling between the C model and the service definition. In other words, the problem may be the service deployment.
Okay, well, thanks for indulging me on that 5-minute discussion. I do think there's more food for thought there, but I'd like to go ahead and keep this one on the radar. It's not particularly important for us to address right away, but it's a design question, and I think it is important for us to come back to at some point. So, with that said, I think we can go ahead and wrap up now, unless anybody has anything else to mention or hit. All right, well, once again, thank you, everybody. And we'll talk to you next week, same time.
All right, thank you.
Thanks, Chris.
See y'all.
Well.